Today's shir is Masechta Saita, Daf Mem, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Amun Aleph, the first words on the Amid. Says the Mishnah, as we were discussing in our previous shir, the Gemara has been identifying different psukim that are said by different tefillahs during Birkas Kahanim. So the Gemara says, Nila the Yom Kippurim, on Nila of Yom Kippur, my Eimer, what would a tefillah, what would a psukim that the tzibur recited during Birkas Kahanim? Ame mazutra v'amr lebi masnesetana, hine chichen gever yirei Hashem, v'rocha Hashem etzion, rei betov Yerushalayim kol yamei chayecha, rei vonim levanecha, sholem ha-Yisrael. So Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara speak specifically about Nila of Yom Kippur? In those days, the minig was, as the Gemara Masechta Tainus indicates, that not only on Yom Kippur, but by other Tanesim as well, they would say they would have Nila. So why is our Gemara only focused on Nila? So there are many answers given to this question. The Ran Masechta Tainus says that what the Gemara means to speak about is not specifically Nila of Yom Kippur. The Gemara means all Nilas of all the Tanesim. Another text that the Ran suggests that in the other Tanesim, Nila is not absolutely essential. It's not that you have to daven Nila. Whereas on Yom Kippur, you must daven Nila. Another pshat that the Karen Oira says, that just like the Tanoim of our Gemara lived in Bavel, the minig to daven Ne'ila on Yom Kippur was only a minig in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, they didn't have that minig, and that's why they didn't ask about about Tain Ne'ila by other fast days. However, they are Mefarshim that suggest, on the contrary, that our Gemara is only speaking about Yom Kippur because on Yom Kippur, we know it was an Eis Ratzon at the time where our tefillahs are answered. That's why, since Yom Kippur is a time where our tefillahs are answered, the psukim that we say at that time become a very important part of our tefillah. Hechen Amram, says the Gemara, we've been learning already our second shir that these brachas are, that these psukim are recited. So ask the Gemara, Hechen Amram, exactly where in the tefillah are they recited? Rabbi Yosef ben Kabrocha Brocha, that after each one of the three brachas of the Birchas Kahanim, one of these psukim are said. Rabbi Sheshes says, B'askaras Hashem, when the Kahanim said the Shem Hashem, that's during Birchas Kahanim, that's when these psukim were recited. Explains the Gemara, Pligi bar Rabbi Mary v'Razvid. We have here Machlokes or Mary's word. Exactly how was it said? Charama psukal kal psuka. That when the Kohanim said one pasuk of the Birkas Kohanim, the people would say one of the psukim that we've been identifying in our shurim. Charama a kal psuka amlo kula. On every pasuk that the Kohanim recited during the Birkas Kohanim, they recited, and every pasuk that they recited during Birkas Kohanim, they said all these psukim. Amar Rav Chibar Abba, Kala Emer Begvulim, but somebody who says these psukim in Chutz Laretz in Elatoya is making a mistake. So it seems that this opinion is that not only is it making a mistake, there's actually an isser to say these psukim. And as I saw that, the explanation is that in the Beis HaMikdash, which we've been learning, when they said Birkas Kahanim, they said the Shem HaMafarish. So since they said the Shem HaMafarish, people paid great attention to the Birkas Kahanim. And even though when you did, and therefore there was no concern that people were, even though they were saying the brachas, the psukim, would not pay attention properly to the Birkas Kahanim. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Birkas Kahanim were not said with the Shem HaMafarish, there's a greater concern that people won't pay proper attention to Birkas Kohanim, and that's why the Psukim should not be said. Although Tosfos asks that the Gemara Masechta Brachos says that if somebody saw a dream and he's not certain if the dream is a good dream or a bad dream, during Birkas Kohanim, he should say the Ribbono Shel Olam, which many of us say during Birkas Kohanim. But now if we're learning that we're so concerned not to say anything during Birkas Kohanim because we may not be able to pay the proper attention to Birkas Kohanim, why is it permissible to say that tefillah? So the re-answer is because that may be a situation of Sakonos Nefashos. A person who had a bad dream during Birkas Kohanim, that already represents had a bad dream and needs to have that dream Hatovas Chaloyim, it needs to be repaired. That is considered a sakana, and that's why it's allowed to be said. Another pshat that I saw that the Maril answers, that on the contrary, somebody who says that Ribbono Shel Olam during Birkas Kohanim, what he is actually saying and showing is that the Birkas Kohanim is so important to him that he knows that that time of Birkas Kohanim is the time that he should know that the time of Birkas Kohanim is the time that he could accomplish so much. A person who's showing that Birkas Kohanim is so very important to him, therefore he will certainly be paying attention to Birkas Kohanim, and therefore he could say the tefillah. Amrav Chinina bar Papa continued speaking about these brachas that our Gemara has been discussing about Birkas Kohanim. Teda, the Migdash Loi Ma'il memory, he says, really, and even in the base of Migdash, they need not be recited. Klum Yesh Lucha Evet Shemarach Ma'isai, because he says that if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a bracha, shouldn't we be paying attention? Ve'ein Amazin, not paying attention. Amrav Ach B'chanina, Teda, he says, on the contrary, the Begvula Nami Boil Memorino, we actually ought to say it even outside the base of Migdash. Klum Yesh Evet Shemavarchem Oysoi, isn't it appropriate that if somebody receives a bracha, they mark upon him, that he shouldn't show appreciation to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Saying these psukim is a recognition of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the brachas that he gives us in the Birkas Kohanim. Amrav Abba, so Rav Abba comment, Amrav Avu, Rav Avu comments, Mirei Shava Minalhu. Originally, my minig was to say these psukim during Birkas Kohanim. Kivin the Chazina Ler of Abba de Manaka. But once I saw the Rav Abba de Manaka de Loyamalhu, that he wasn't saying them, and na nami lo minalhu, I stopped saying them as well. The Shulchan Aruch says that Tosfos here says that one shouldn't recite these psukim during Psukim de Zimra. And the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Kuf Chav Ches Arachayim Siv Chavav paskins that way, that b'shas ha'brocha la'yayim ha'tzibah shum pasuk. During Birkas Kohanim, the tzibah shouldn't be saying anything. El yishtaku v'yazinu l'brocha. They should remain silent, listen to the brocha. The Rama, however, says, shenaga yayim lo'im b'psukim eila. There is a minute to say these psukim, b'shum shekahanim arichim b'negunim, because that the Kohanim sing, and during the time that they are singing, we could say this psukim, but the Rama concludes, ach yosatov shloi lamram, it's better not to say it. And the Magen Avraham indeed says that if somebody wants to say this psukim, he should be careful to say them only when the shlich tzibur is declaring, announcing the words that the Kohanim are going to be repeating. But Eli Rabba says no. He says that there's another consideration. He says if the entire tzibur are saying these psukim, then the Kohanim will not be able to hear the shlich tzibur announce the words. And moreover, says the Eli Rabba, saying these psukim while the shlich tzibur is saying the bracha really isn't accomplishing much, because that isn't the time of the bracha. The bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is at the time when the Kohanim are saying the Birkas Kohanim, not when the Shlich Tzibur is saying the Birkas Kohanim. So saying a bracha at the time that saying these psukim at that time really is not accomplishing what we want with these psukim. Amar Ravuah, Meresh hava mina in v'snasa ana. He says, at the beginning, I would think that I am the most maddest person. Kivin d'chazina l'Rab Abba d'min Akka, that I saw Rab Abba d'min Akka behavior, I saw that he is even a more humble person than I am. D'amir iu chatama, as we've learned many times, the way drushes, the way speeches were given, was there was a person who said the drusha to the Metargumen, and then the Metargumen would announce and say the drusha out loud. And what happened here was Rav Abba ben Akka would explain whatever he wants to give over to the Tzibur. Vama Amayre, the person who was repeating his speech, didn't say what he said. He said, Vama Amayre Chatama, he said something else, and like Kikbid, he wasn't upset. Amina, at that point, I said, Lavin Snosano, I'm not considered the most modest person. This is considered a modest behavior. So the Ben Yoyada asks a question. How could Rabbi Avuah say about himself in Vesnasa Ano? How could somebody say about themselves that he's modest? So the Pashup Shad he gives is that he never said it, of course, out loud, saying that I'm a modest person. He thought to himself, don't I act in a modest fashion? And then he realized that somebody acts even more. Another pshat that he offers is that what he meant to say was that I was born, my nature, my teva, is that I am modest. And then I realized that there are people who are more modest than I am. Another pshat that in Mashah suggests that in those times that no, being modest was the way everybody behaved. Since everybody behaved in such a fashion, it wasn't considered boasting when you said that you were modest. Ben Yoyada says that what he used to say was that I'm modest. By saying I'm modest, people didn't think he was really so modest. And that's what he was trying to accomplish, that he didn't want people to think that he's modest. The Netziv says, he didn't mean anivus, modesty, being humble in a way that he was boasting. All he was saying was that this is the way that I act with other people. Along the same lines, I sort of the Sfasema suggest that he thought that everybody acts that way. And since he thought everybody acts that way, saying that I act that way is nothing to be so proud of. There's nothing that is unusual. The Sefer Koich Ve'ar, however, says that that a person is not allowed to fool himself. And if a person indeed is a nonof, there's nothing wrong in recognizing what your strengths and what your weakness of. A last pshat that I saw is that he said it to his Talmidim. He wanted his Talmidim to learn from him how important it is to be modest, and therefore he used himself as a model. The Shlach says that still, isn't it inappropriate that a person should think that he has a special attribute? How did he think this way? He says that that Reb Yosef's Madrega of Anivus was such a high Madrega that he didn't realize that Anivus is a Madrega. That's why he said it without even realizing that he was thinking that way. So the Mashah asks a question. He says, if he was saying, if Avu the Manaka was saying a drosha, and he was saying whatever he was saying, and then his Meturgamin, his Amoira, as the Gemara calls him, used different words, so isn't that wrong? Everybody who's sitting in the audience is assuming that what is being said is what Rav Yosef the Manaka said. And if it's not what they said, it's wrong. So the Mefarshim explain that the Meturgmen of Rav Abba would say explicitly before he said his whatever he said, that what I'm doing and what I'm going to say is not necessarily what I heard from Rav Abba the Manako. In a place where you could be misleading people and they think you're saying something in the name of Rav Abba the Manako when you're not, that's inappropriate. But if you're not misleading anyone, that's acceptable. And the Miri says that from here we see that even if a person has reached a certain level in a midah, we see in our Gemara that of Abadam and Akko was says about himself that he says about himself that he's an Rabbi Avuha says about himself that he's an onuf. He wasn't satisfied being an onuf. He was constantly looking to become a greater onuf. A person is not supposed to rest on his laurels. He's always supposed to try to come to a higher madrega. Says the Gemara, Mayim v'sosid Rabbi Avuha. So where do we see the modesty of Rabbi Avuha? Says the Gemara, the Amrali, the Visa da Murder of Abba, the wife of the Maturgum of Ravua, told Ludvisa de Ravua to the wife of Ravua, Hodidon Lotzorch Leila de Doch. My husband, who is the Maturgum of your husband, really doesn't have to hear the drasha from your husband. Why? He is himself a big Talmud Chacham, and he could say a drasha on his own. Vahai de Gochin, Zakav Lei, and this that he does act in the role of a Maturgaman, he just wants to show him respect. Azul Devisa, so the wife of Rav Avuha went and repeated what she just heard from Rav Avuha. She was upset how she was speaking that way, and as if Rav Avuha wasn't enough of a Talmud Chacham. Amalei, to which Rav Avuha said to her, Amai nafkelech minei, what does it make a difference what he and his wife think? Minei uminei iskal salah. Our place in this world is just to create more kvod shemayim. So if I'm saying the drasha, or he's saying the drasha, as long as we're causing there should be more kvod shemayim in the world, that's all that we should be trying to accomplish. There's nothing else that a Jew has to try to accomplish in this world other than bringing more kvod shemayim. And I saw from Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita that he explains what does the Gemara mean to teach us. What the Gemara here means to teach us is that our primary goal in whatever we do is to bring kvod shemayim. But how does a Jew bring kvod shemayim to the world? The way a Jew brings kvod shemayim to the world is by avoiding machloikus. And the reason he made this statement, the entire reason he made this statement was to prevent machloikus. If his goal was to prevent machloikus, that's called the biggest kvod shemayim. Says the Gemara, Vesu, Ravua, Ibn Rabban Alei Lamam Yavresha. The Gemara tells us another episode. Ravua, that the Rabban decided to make him the Rosh Yeshiva. Kivin the Chazal Ravu the Manaka. But when Rav Avuha saw Rav Avuha the Manaka, the Nefish Le Bali Chavis, he had a lot of debts, he owed a lot of money. Amala, he told the Chachamim that wanted to appoint him to this position, Ikka Rabba, the someone greater than I. Because we know the Pasuk says, regarding the Kohen Gadol, V'akoyin HaGadol Mi'achav. And Chazal, Mesech the Yuma, Daf Yud Ches, Amad Aleph, teaches, God Leyu Mishalachav. We have to enrich the Kohen Gadol. So here too, he saw Rav Avuha and Akoy needed the income. He gave up this important, prominent position so Rav Avuha and Akoy should be able to have the income that he needed. Says the Gemara, Rav Avuha Rav Chibar Abba, Ikla Hu Asra. They arrived at this place. Rav Avuha Darsh Bagarata, Rav Avuha gave a Garata Drosha, Rav Chibar Abba Darsh Bishmaitza gave a Halacha Shir. Shafku kula amla Rav Chibar Abba. Nobody attended Rav Chibar Abba Shir. Vazla gavad Rav Avuha because people enjoy a garata more than halacha. Chalishtate. So Rav Chibar Abba was upset that he did not have an audience to his shir. Amalei, he said to the so Rav Avuha wanted to make him feel good, and he said to him the reason that everybody left your shir and came to my shir, Emshchal Mashal Ma'adav Adoymer, L'shnei B'nei Adam. The two people that came to sell merchandise in a certain city, Echem Ma'icha Avonim Tavis, one sells expensive stones, diamonds, Vechem Ma'icha Minei Sitkes, and the other one only sold inexpensive pins and needles. Ami Kavtsin, who is going to have more customers? Loy Amisha Ma'icha Minei Sitkes. Certainly the one that sells the inexpensive material, because there every people could afford the expensive, can't afford the stones. So people who can't afford the diamonds aren't going to the store for the diamonds. But the people can afford and do need needles and pins. And therefore, he don't feel bad. Says the Gemara, so I saw the Mefarshim ask, why did Rav Avuah feel the need to explain himself? It wasn't as if Rav Avuah did anything to cause that Rav Chiya bar Abba shouldn't have people by his shir. The people on their own did it. So why does he feel the need to apologize? So I saw that the Sefer Michas Yudah explains, Al Gemara is trying to show how humble and modest he is. And this is the best way of showing how humble and modest he is. He didn't do anything wrong. Even though he didn't do anything wrong, he still felt the need to make Rav Chiya bar Abba feel better. But I did see that the Ein Yaakov says that what happened was that Rav Avuah began his drosha before Rav Chiya's drosha. And the people came to Rav Avuah's drosha. Rav Chiya was upset. Had you waited to begin your drosha until I began my drosha, I perhaps would have had more people. Then Eliyahu, the Gross, says similarly, what he says is Rav Avuah felt the need to apologize. He says because Rav Avuah should have realized that if he's going to be giving a shir about a garita, and Rav Chiya bar Abba is going to be giving a shir about halacha, he's going to have a larger audience. And therefore, he should have maybe also only said halacha. But he should have maybe said halacha, and like that, it would have been an equal audience by both of them. The Sefer Etz Yosef says, we are not to understand this Gemara that Rav Avuah is trying to belittle the importance of giving a shir in a garita. Because Chazal teach us, Imritzon Chalhakas Misha Amavayolam, if you want to recognize Hashem, Lamayt Agad, learn Agadata. What he meant to say was not that he was trying to belittle the importance of Agadata, he was just trying to say it's easier to understand. And therefore, since it's easier to understand, that's why people come to my shir. Kol Yoyma, says the Gemara, Rav Avuah wanted again to continue to make Rav Chiya bar Abba feel better. Says the Gemara, Kol Yoyma have a malav Rav Chiya bar Abba l'Ravuah ad Ashpuzay. Every day Rav Chiya bar Abba would walk Rav Avuah home. Mishum Yukr de Bekeser, out honor to the king, because Rav Avuah was very close to the government. Hahu Yoyma, but on that day, it was just the opposite. Rav Avuah walked Rav Chiya bar Abba home at the Shpizai, but says the Gemara, "Afilo achol toisei datamenei," he didn't feel better. And the question is, why didn't Rav Chiya bar Abba, feel better after the way Rav Avuah acted, where he gave him an explanation and he also walked him home? So the Bach explains that this was on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, specifically the Bach says, the Rav who gives the drosh on Shabbos is supposed to give a shir and halach l'maisa. The people should know what to do. And therefore, he felt Rav Avuah did the wrong thing by giving that drosh. Another Pshat Ben Yoda explains that it wasn't Rav Chiya wasn't satisfied. He was embarrassed that people didn't participate in his shir. And I saw a similar pshat that Rav Chiya bar Abba wasn't upset about himself. He was upset that the people of his time didn't recognize the importance of learning halacha. Along the same line I saw that he was upset. Every Rav, every Rosh Hashiva is anxious to teach Torah and influence people. And here, by him not having people who attend his shir, he didn't have that opportunity, which he felt he was brought to the world for that opportunity, which he didn't have. Says the Gemara, "Bezman shtrich tzibur ayim moidim," as the shtrich tzibur is saying moidim berchazar sashatz. Ask the Gemara ha'amrav ayimrim, what does everybody say? Amrav moidim loch anach loch Hashem alkein alshanoch moidim loch. V'shmul amr alkei kabasar alshan moidim loch. Rav Simai Amri Yitzreni Yotze Bereshus Asha Anam Moedim Loch. Nardai Amri Mishmeid Rav Simai Brachas Vaidois L'Shimcha Agodol Asha Chiyosonu V'Kiyam Tanu Asha Anam Moedim Loch. Rav Acha Bayakav Messiah by Hochi Kein Tachayenim V'Sechonenu V'Sakzenu V'Sesu V'Gol Yusenu V'Chatzreis Kachecha lishma chukecha lasut zayin necha v'leiv v'shalom al sha'an namachtim loch. That's his nusach. Amra papa, because we have all these different nuschas, hilcha nemrel kolona. We should say all of them. And I saw that the Mefarshim say we know that this is called Moedim Derabbanan. Why is it called Moedim Derabbanan? Because as we just learned, the nusach that we say by Moedim Derabbanan is really a compilation of all the various nuschas that we just learned in the Gemara. And that's why it's called Moedim Derabbanan. The Karen Oyer explains that Shmuel said on top of what he said, Moedim Nachloch, he said Shmuel added Elakai Kabosar. So what was Shmuel trying to say? Shmuel was trying to say, explains the Karen Oyra, that we are supposed to declare that we recognize the reason we were brought to this world was to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Karen Oyra says that Rav Samoy added Yitzreni Yotzei Bereishis, that not only are all members of Klal Yisrael supposed to recognize and announce that our purpose in being in the world is to praise Hashem, but everything that exists in the world is here to help us accomplish our purpose of existence, of recognizing and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he goes on to say that when Adai said, Brachos v'shem chalak dois, he says that before Matan Torah, the people that lived in the world were Rishoyim. And Rishoyim b'chayeyim, people who are Rishoyim even when they're alive, Nekroim Mason. But we, after we received the Torah, now we're considered alive. And therefore we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechayisonu v'kimanu, that we are really considered alive because we have the Torah. And then the Rav Achav Yaakov added, Kein techayenu v'sechanenu v'sekapseinu, that what we're trying to say is that as much as we try to be in this world and thank and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize that until Mashiach comes, b'mheira b'yameinu, we won't be able to accomplish and do what we have to do perfectly. And then we end, Lishma chukecha, l'asut tzoynecha, b'leiv v'sholim. We're speaking here, says the Sefer Metzor Dvash, about Torah avoiding Gemalos Chasadim, which we know, as we learn in Pirkei Avos, Ashlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Aymed, the three pillars on which the world stands on, Torah avoiding Gemalos Chasadim. Torah is we referenced by saying Lishma Chukecha. The Gemalos Chasadim is L'asit Tzenecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Chesed, and that's what he wants us to do. U'Belev of Sholem references the Avodish Belev, which is Tefillah. The Yerushalmi says that the way to end Moedim Derabbanan is by saying Baruch Ato Hashem Kol Haidois. But the Rashba asks, how could you end a bracha without starting with a bracha? The halacha is, if you're going to end a recitation, it has to begin with a bracha, and Moedim doesn't begin with a bracha. So the Rashba says, in order to defend the Yerushalmi, that this bracha is actually a continuation of Ritzei and Vesachsena. It's all one long bracha, which begins with a bracha. The Rashba also says that under certain circumstances, we can end something with a bracha, even though we didn't begin with a bracha. But the Beis Yosef says, and we know that's our minig, since in the Bavli that we just learned, it does not say Baruch Ato Hashem Kel Hoidos, so we know our minig is we just say Baruch Kel Hoidos without saying Baruch Ato Hashem. Amma Reb Yitzchak, Loilam Te'em Tzibur Alecha, if you're a great person, you should still be concerned about the Tzibur. Shrei Kahanim Pneim Klapi Am, the Kahanim faced the Tzibur, V'chreim Klapi Shechina, and they had the backs to the Aron Kodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave up on his kavod and let the Kohanim stand that way because of kavod HaTzibur. And I saw that the Drosh HaSaran explains what is the importance of what is the concept behind kavod HaTzibur. He says the concept of kavod HaTzibur is that when you have a tzibur of many people, every person in the tzibur has his own strengths, his own talents. And when they all come together that shows that is something very great because you have so much talent together. The Rambam was asked about the shul in Alexandria, Egypt, that when the Kohanim say Birkas Kohanim, their backs were to the Aron Kodesh, and sometimes the Aron Kodesh was even open. How could they stand that way? So he says that if the Sefer Torah is above the ground, higher than 10 tefachim, so that's considered a Rishus B'fnei Atzmai, it's considered its own place, and we don't have an issue. As long, however, explained the Paiskim, if the Sefer Torahs are closed. But if the Sefer Torahs are open, then you can't stand behind, you can't stand with your back to the Sefer Torah, even if they're in Aron Kodesh, which is 10 tefachim above ground. Rav Nachman says, where do we see the concept of Kavod Atzibur Mehacha? Yakim David HaMelech al Raglav. David HaMelech gets up and he says, Shemuni Achim V'Ami. So the Gemara focuses on his languages. Im Achi, if he's calling them my brothers, Lama Ami, why is he calling them my nation? If I'm Lama Ami, Lama Achi. Amar Lazar, Amalam David Yisrael. David HaMelech said to Klai Yisrael, Im Atim Shemli, if you will listen to me, to be perfect in Avodas Hashem, Achi Atem, you'll be my brothers. V'mlav Ami Atem, but if not, you'll only be considered as if my people, V'niroi Demeschem. So we see that even when the people, that David HaMelech went out of his way to call the people Achai, to show that he has covered for the people at that time. So the Mefarshim ask, the Pasuk says, that David HaMelech got up, the Yakum David. But we know that a king always sits, and not only does the king always sit, but we learned Melech Shemachal Kvaidoi and Kvaidoi Machal. So how could a David HaMelech not sit? Says the Mashah, that's part of what the Gemara is trying to teach us. That even though normally, of course, the king is supposed to sit, but because of Kavod HaTzibur, he's allowed to stand. Another pshat that the Mitzvah Eisen suggests that was the time when David HaMelech was giving Shlomo HaMelech the instructions about the Beis HaMikdash. And because covered of the Beis HaMikdash, that's why he stood. Along the same lines, the Sarif for Arvid Nachal says that part of the purpose of this drasha that David HaMelech gave was to collect funds stock for the Beis HaMikdash. And when one is collecting funds for the Beis HaMikdash, for Tzedakah, he's supposed to be standing. Another pshat I saw was that David HaMelech wanted to make sure that everybody should hear what he has to say. So he stood to make sure that everybody could hear him. The Medrash says that David HaMelech had been ill, and Baruch Hashem, now he got better. And he wanted to show everybody, because he had enemies who were happy that he wasn't well, and he wanted to show that he was better, so he stood up. Everybody should see the Baruch Hashem, I recovered. Rabban Amri, Rabbanan say, what is the source for Kavod HaTzibur Mehacha? Because the halacha is, any kohen rishayim last b'sandalim l'duchen. The halacha is, a kohen may not go up to the Nesi'is Kapayim wearing shoe. V'zach mechateshet takanas, this is one of the 9 rules, shiskin Rav Yochanan Mezakai. My tama, what's the reason? Midlam mishum, Kavod HaTzibur, because when the Kohanim go up to the Duchen, they pick up their clothing. They used to wear long robes that went down to the floor, and they picked up their clothing to be able to walk up the steps. And when they picked up the clothing, and the people saw the shoes, and the shoes were typically not clean. It's sort of a lack of cover to the tzibur that they should see his shoes that are dirty, and that's why they remove the shoes. But says Rav Ashi Loi, that's not the reason that you Kohanim may not wear shoes when they say Nesi'is Kapayim. The reason is Hashem Shemenef Tzu B'Sandloi. We need to be concerned that maybe one of his shoelaces will rip, for Hadi Ezel Mekdere open up, and he'll want to tie it, and they'll think that he stopped to tie it because he's not going up to the Duchen. And since he's not going up to the Duchen, people are going to accuse him, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu, he must be a disqualified Kayin. So, of course, the Paiskim discuss that, certainly here we see that one may wear shoes when he goes into Beis HaKnesses. Even points out Tosfos that even the Baal Tefillah is allowed to wear a shoe. It's a halacha that only applies to Kohanim. And we gave two reasons. One is because of Kavod HaTzibur, and the other reason is because people shouldn't chas v'shalom come to accuse him that he's a ben grushim and chalutza. So there are a number of nafkaminas. One is, if the reason is because Kavod HaTzibur, then the tzibur could say, we're meichel. If the reason is because of people will come to accuse him, then nobody could be meichel him. Another difference would be that if you have clean shoes, if the concern is Kavod HaTzibur, that you shouldn't show them your not clean shoes. So if you have clean shoes, it's not a problem. If it's Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, it doesn't make a difference. Or another nafkamina will be, if you're a Kohen that does normally Duchen. So if you're a Kohen that Duchens normally, everybody knows you're not a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. But the Kavod HaTzibur issue remains under all circumstances. Certainly from here we see that a Kohen that has a disqualification, that is a Cholol, should not Duchen. Because that's what the Gemara is saying, that people will accuse him that he's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. So we see that even though somebody has a father who is a Kohen, people, if he is a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, if he carries with him that issue, he's not allowed to Duchen. I did see, however, that Tori Evans says that even if a person Duchens all the time, does say Nesis Kapayim all the time with the, so it seems that we shouldn't be concerned about Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza if this time he didn't go up because he's tying his shoe. So the Tori Evan makes two points. One point is, every time that the Kohen misses the opportunity to say the Birkas Kohanim, he loses out on three mitzvahs to say. So even one time losing out the opportunity to say Birkas Kohanim is something that the Kohen should avoid. And another point that he makes is that sometimes there's somebody in the shul who isn't there all the time. You have a guest. And just today, this Kohen is not going up because he's busy with a shul. And people are going to think that he's a Ben Gerusha and Ben Chalutza. They're not going to, and this person who's never here any other time won't know or doesn't have a way of knowing that he goes up every other time. And therefore, even according to the reason of concern of Ben Gerusha and Ben Chalutza has, even applies, even if normally he does go up, and today Jesse doesn't go up. There is a big discussion amongst the Paiskim, if you have somebody who is not well, and it's difficult for him to remove his shoes and then put them back on his shoes, and he's a Kohen, may he go up to say, to do Birkas Kohanim wearing his shoes or not? The Shaul Zechuvas Michas Yitzchak from Rav Weiss et al. Discusses this issue in the Chuvas in Chelik Yud Simen Yud Aleph. And there are many Paiskim discuss it. He says that the Michas Yitzchak is Machmer. He says, once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted this rule, there's a loy plug. The rule is in place under all circumstances. The Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Yud Dalid Simen Yud Aleph wants to say that it makes a difference what type of shoes. If you're wearing leather shoes, he says, then there's no way to be lenient. He is, however, a little more lenient if somebody's wearing shoes made out of material, because he says that shoes made out of material are not really considered shoes. We learned in the Mishnah that there's a difference between the Birkas Kohanim that was done outside the Beis HaMikdash and in the Birkas Kohanim that was said in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Birkas Kohanim that was said outside the Beis HaMikdash, the three psukim are considered three brachas, and the Mikdash, they're considered bracha achas. The Kalkach Lama, why do we differentiate between the Birkas Kohanim that's said in the Beis HaMikdash versus the Birkas Kohanim that was said outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Gemara Lefisha Ein Ein Mikdash. The Mishnah, Gemara is teaching us that after each pasuk, the Kohanim pause, and the Tzibur says Amen. And therefore they're considered three separate brachas. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, the three psukim was said as one long bracha, because as we're about to learn, there's no amen recited in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara explains that when they daven the Beis HaMikdash, they had a longer nusach for the bracha. We, for example, when we say the first bracha, Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. What they would say, after saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, they would say, Baruch Hashem, I'll tell you someone, Oilam, but Oilam, Baruch Magen Avraham. And the Tzibur would not say Amen. What they would say was, Baruch Shem Kvod Mechusay Loilam Void. However, points out the Taisus Yontif, that even though we just learned that they added and they had a longer nusach for every bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, with adding these words, Baruch Hashem Elkei Yisrael Oilam V'Oilam, in Birkus Kahanim, there's Alocha Bal Taisif. And the Alocha Bal Taisif says that we're not allowed to add any words to the Birkus Kahanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But still says the Taisus Yontif, that didn't, they still, so the question that he says, that they didn't, if they didn't say the bracha, Baruch Hashem Elkei Yisrael Min Olam V'Olam, the Tzibur did not say Baruch Shem Kavoy Mechus Olam V'Od. It says the Taisus Yontif, even though the Tzibur didn't say Baruch Shem Kavoy Mechus Olam V'Od, which is only said when Baruch Hashem Elkei Yisrael is said, they didn't say Amen either. Because Amen is only said, is, as we're about to learn, the Gemara says, Ein Einen Amen B'Megdash. The Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Yuma, teaches us that when the Kohen Gadol would say the Shema Mefirish on Yom Kippur, all the people who heard him say it would say, Baruch Hashem, Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od. So isn't this a question on the Taisus Yontif? Here we're clearly saying, seeing that even if they didn't say Baruch Hashem Elkei Yisrael, they could still say, Baruch Hashem, Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od. We see, so why is that not the case here as well? Says the Brisker Rav, the Baruch Hashem was not said when the Kohen Gadol said the Shem HaMefirish. Baruch Hashem Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od was not said like we say Amen, or they say Baruch Hashem Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od. It was said as something that the Tzibur reacted to hearing the Shem HaMefirish. And therefore, it's not a raya. It's not a raya that every time that you say a brach in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever nusach you said, Baruch Hashem Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Menayin Shein Oinim Amen B'Migdash. For where do we know that the Amen is not said in the Beis HaMikdash, that they said Baruch Hashem Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od? Shenema, the Pasuk says in Nechemiah, as the Leviim spoke to the Tzibur in the Beis HaMikdash, and they said, Kuma Baruch Hashem Elokechem, so they said, Mina Oilam Vada Oilam, as we just mentioned. Or Mina Ayin Shekal Brachu Bracha, that they said in the Beis HaMikdash, Tehillah, they said, they didn't say Amen, they said, Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, what was the reaction? V'yavaruch Hashem Kvodecha. U'meroimam, and the Pasuk continues saying, Al-Kal Brachu Sila, Al-Kal Brachu U'Bracha. For every Bracha that they heard in the Beis HaMikdash, they said, Tehillah, Tehillah, they said, Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Olam V'Od. We learned at the beginning of our perek that as the Mishnah was identifying what is said b'chaloshin and what is said b'loshin HaKodesh, so the Mishnah spoke about the Birchus Kohen Gadol. So ask the Gemara, what is that Birchus Kohen Gadol? Birchus Kohen Gadol Ketzad. Says the Gemara, there was a whole procedure on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, Chazan HaKnesses, the person who was in charge of the Beis HaKnesses that was in the Azara, Neitel Sefer Torah, would take a Sefer Torah from its place, the Neistan L'Rosh HaKnesses, and he would give it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Rosh HaKnesses, that he was the Gabbai of that Beis HaKnesses. Rosh HaKnesses would give it to the Skan, to the assistant Kohen Gadol. And then the Skan would give it to Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would get up, umekabel, and receive it. There's a big discussion here amongst the Paiskim. How could the Gvur Sari discusses it, that the halacha is that nobody's allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. And here it seems that the Kohen Gadol was standing. So many Paiskim suggest that he was sitting, even though normally he's not allowed to sit, just to show cover to the Sefer Torah. What does it mean to show cover to the Sefer Torah? That he was sitting and got up to show honor. V'kare, and Mekabel, and he receives the Sefer Torah, V'kare, and he reads in the Sefer Torah, in Parshas Achrei Mois, where the Avodah of the Yom Kippurim is discussed. Then he takes the Sefer Torah, goes to Parshas Emor, and he reads Ach Be'eser from Parshas Emor, which speaks about the rest of, which speaks also about Yom Kippur. Goylul Sotar, he closes the Sefer Torah, Menichai Becheker, he puts it in his lap, and Omer, and he says, Yosef Mashikrisi Lefneichem, much more than it says here, Kosvkan. And that's why he then read the Parshas Kippur and Parshas Pinchas, he read it by heart. Shebechumash Bekudim, Koy Alpeh, he says that there's much more in the Sefer Torah, but because, as we're going to learn, there's an issue of Kavrat Tzibur to wait till they get to Parshas Pinchas, which is quite a while from Parshas Emor, that he said by heart. And then, when he finished the Kriyas HaTorah, Mevarach LaShem Shemayne Brachas, he said eight brachas. Al HaTorah V'al HaVoida, V'al HaHaydoya, V'al Mechilas Oven, Al HaMigdash, Al Yisrael, Al Kahanim, Al Yisrael, Al Yishlayim, V'ashah Tefillah. And then he said a tefillah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should help, that all of our tefillahs should be heard. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah discussed the entire procedure of how they gave the Sefer Torah from one individual to another individual. Says the Gemara, Shamet Mina, by learning our Mishnah, we seem to learn the Cholkin covered the Talmud Makom Rav, that even though the Kohen Gadol was the greatest individual who was there, they showed covered to other people who were there as well. And the Gemara, Amabaya, our Mishnah is not necessarily a raya to that concept, because everything that was done was because of Kavod to the Kohen Gadol. It was all done to show kavod to the Kohen Gadol. And what it means is that by having the Sefer Torah be passed from one great individual to another great individual, that shows great honor to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Oymid HaMakabal V'Kairi, Oymid, Mechlal the Yoshev Hu. But that's the Gemara of Amar, we learned, Ein Yeshiv Azara, El Melech V'Tov Elavad, Shnem V'Yav HaMelech, David Yesh, Lofnei Hashem, V'Yom HaMi HaNoichi, only David HaMelech, says the Gemara, Kedam Rav Chizda, Be'ezus Noshim. So Rav Chizda says that this took place in Ezra's Noshim, where anybody's allowed to sit in Ezra's Noshim. Hachanami Be'ezus Noshim. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Ve'echen Karimba, where did the Melech, we're going to discuss the Pasha of Hakel, and the Gemara wants, the Brisa wants to know where was Hakel done? Ba'zorah. Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ba'harabayis. It was done in Harabayis. Shnemar, so they read it in the Azara. So the Gemara is assuming that wherever they read Hakel is the same place that they read, that the Kohen Gadol read. And it says that it was done in the Azara. And so the Gemara, yes, the Azara that's meant in this Braisa, Amar Rav Chizda, is the Ezra's Noshim. And it was all done in the Ezra's Noshim, where not just Malchi Beis David may sit.